Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Welcome to the house of God. Welcome to the Father's house. And welcome all of you joining us right now online. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. And this is part two, round two here on this Sunday, this beautiful day that God has created. Amen. I live for this. In my previous life, you know, I lived for the wrong reasons, you know. It's almost like I lived to party. All I thought about was making a paycheck. You know, making ends meet. The money, a lot of times, not sometimes, most of the time, was never enough. Sometimes, barely before by the time the week started, my paycheck was all gone. Spent, you know, the weekend. And so was my life, you know, without purpose, without meaning, looking for security. And when the Lord got a hold of me, everything changed. And everything is still changing. Amen. It's still changing. And I bless the name of the Lord for that. You know, I bless the name of the Lord that for the signs and wonders and miracles that happen here, for Him confirming His word. I bless the name of the Lord how He blesses the saints, how I see God bless men and women of God that love Him, that serve Him, you know, here in church. And you know, I get the testimonies from online, you know, people email and they call and everything else, and they're very nice and courteous enough to let us know what the Lord did, how the Lord came through in a mighty way. People in Pennsylvania, people in, you know, other states. And how wonderful it is to live life to serve this God, a God whom is alive. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Lord, we love You. Lord, we worship You and we praise You. We exalt Your holy name, Lord, forever. I thank You, Lord, for everyone who is here this evening, who've come here tonight, Lord, to hear Your word, to worship, Lord, with us together, to sing songs, to bless Your holy name, to be, Lord, in one accord, in unity, to receive, Lord, something from You. With a spirit of expectancy, Lord, we come before Your presence. And Lord, we bow down before Your throne. And we worship You, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we shall always do this forever and ever, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would minister to everyone here and everyone watching, Lord, equally. May You speak to them, Lord, in a profound, supernatural way. Thank You, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Please turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 63. Amen. Psalm 63. I don't think this evening's message is going to be very long. Straight to the point. I came across this verse a while back. I have considered sharing on behalf of this verse for a while, and I never really had the liberty up until today. And I think it's very fitting for us to, you know, study this one particular verse here tonight. Let's focus in on verse 2 right now. Let's read. Psalm 63:2 says, "So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory." I stumbled across this verse, brothers and sisters. I'll be transparent with you. by accident once upon a time. I believe I might have been researching, doing some cross-references, and I believe it might have even been a Wednesday evening service. The battle is already won Wednesday. And I stumbled across this verse. I said, wow, I've never read this verse before. It's funny how I've read the previous verses and the verses afterwards, and they've made songs about these verses, but somehow verse 2 always went over my head. And I said, I'm going to put this, I just grabbed that, put it in my back pocket, and I just kept it moving like nothing happened, right? And so I just always stored this verse, and I said, I'm going to see what King David right now is talking about. Why do I find this verse significant? It is amazing. It is wonderful. When you come to the house of the Lord and expect something powerful, to expect something magnificent, you see, longing to witness God's power and the glory and His glory in the sanctuary is something that is very, very noble. And I'm also going to say it's necessary. This is, you're going to understand a little bit more why I always say come with a spirit of expectancy. Expect something from God. If you go to a church, let me just keep it real plain. If you congregate somewhere, whether it is a house meeting, a home group, a tabernacle, a church, whatever you want to call it, And God's presence is not there, you're wasting your time. I'm just going to say it. For one, we don't serve a deadbeat God. For real. He's not dead, and he's not a deadbeat dude. He's not. He's a God of war. He is powerful. He created everything that existed. He is above everything. Amen? And David had encountered this power in the past. He had seen the glory and the power of God. And mind you, this is prior to the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's significant. The power and the glory that God wants to manifest to you and I today in the modern church, I'll call it the church of today, are the same that are manifested in the early churches. The exact same one. It hasn't changed. God has always wanted to walk among His people. That has never changed. Since the beginning, God will come and visit Adam. Adam, thank you, in the Garden of Eden. And they used to talk. Maybe they used to exchange ideas. Potentially, Adam gave a report of what he did that day. Some people say that, man fell within 24 hours. I don't know. And it really doesn't matter to me. Some people say it took 3 days. Some people say it took a week. Whatever the case might be, look at all the things that are named in the world. That's a lot of work, right? I know that would take me maybe even a lifetime, per se. In how I am built today, right? But nonetheless, Adam had communion with God continuously. And there must have been a time that must have gone by for the Lord to recognize that He needed a companion. I am not trying to insinuate anything here. Understand that I'm always careful to say, this is what I believe. I'm always careful to say, this is what I think. Okay? This is how I translate things. And it's completely up to you. But I don't think it took God 3 hours to recognize that David was lonely. Or 12 hours. Or 24 hours. I don't think so. But one day we're going to find out. But that's not the topic of conversation here. The topic of conversation here is that God always wanted to be close to man. And when we are close to God, we automatically witness the magnitude that is the Lord. That is God. There is no way that we can overlook, bypass, skip, or whatever you want to call it. The fullness of God is experienced, as we spoke about this morning, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and also the gifts that come along with the Holy Spirit. We are highly dependent on the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us. Amen? I want to read a verse from the New Testament now. Let's go to John chapter 14, please. Excuse me. John chapter 14. And we are going to read verse 12. Let's go ahead and read. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And I love this part. And greater works than these, that individual will do. Because I go to my Father. Amen? You see, it's one thing for someone to set the bar. It's something, it's almost unreal. But it is something grand when we can raise the bar and do and go beyond what the Lord Jesus did. Really? Yes, that's what the Word of God says, right? This is what the Word of God says. Amen. You know, we might not be propelled to turn water into wine in today's age, today's day, as I say. But you know what I've seen? Water turn into gasoline. Mm-hmm. Can I hear a mm-hmm? Have you not? Haven't one of us heard a testimony like that? So many of us have heard testimonies of that nature, where someone was caught somewhere, stranded somewhere. Just, you know, their car, the needle stopped working. They're driving an old car. They're missionaries somewhere. They might have gotten lost. And they just ran out of fuel. But they happen to have a container in the trunk. And there just so happened to be a lake close by. Or they might have had a water bottle inside of the car. And they prayed over that water bottle and they dumped that in the tank. And it took them 200-400 miles. When the gas tank only has a 200-300 mile range. Supernatural. Amen? We are able to do all these things. And this is encountering the power of God. This is living in the power of the Lord. But right now, we're talking about a gentleman by the name of David. And what David is saying right now in Psalm 63 is how he longed, how he thrived, how he yearned for seeing the spectacle, the glory of God in the temple, in the tabernacle. David's longing for God came because of his vision of God's power. And when I say God's power, what I'm specifically meaning is his strength. Seeing the strength of God and his glory. And I want to make something perfectly clear right now. Before David's enemy had driven him into the wilderness, he was already made aware of God's presence and God's power. Before. And why is this important? You've heard me say this several times in this pulpit. It's important for you to live a supernatural life. Understand that. It's key. It's very important for you to live a life that sees signs and wonders and miracles. Because when hard times come, you know exactly what to do. You know, you say, oh yeah? You roll up your sleeves a little bit. You loosen up your necktie. Okay? Is that how it's going to be? All right. I got something for you, enemy. You think you can have me down? Watch this. Don't make me go down on my knees and speak to my Lord. Don't make me skip breakfast today and lunch, because you got something else coming. Amen. You see, David had already encountered the power of God. He had already encountered. Throughout most of the Psalms, no, I'm sorry, not most of the Psalms. Through a lot of Psalms, you hear about David stressing about something. He's in a wilderness, he is thirsty, he is hungry, you know, he's got people on his tail. You know, they're about to get him. But he talks about, what does he want? He wants more of God. He knows that if I have more of the Lord, I have everything. This is why I said what I said this morning. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything. You can make it. You got it. Amen? And what I find beautiful in this text is that he found what he yearned so much for in the house of God, in the house of the Lord. And who is in the house of the Lord? You. You are. Amen. You have the Holy Spirit in you. We are all gathered together in the name of Jesus. We are all singing songs unto the Lord in jubilee. I'm not preaching against personal time with God. I'm not preaching against your prayer closet. I'm not, you know, coming against home groups. If you got stuck on that, you know, word earlier when I mentioned, you know, home groups and house gatherings. No. I'm talking about the presence of God. But at this very moment, I'm speaking about the temple. When we come together and when we worship and when we witness the power of God. Amen? So back then, what did they have? They had something called the Ark. And the Ark of the Covenant was the symbol of the Lord's glory and strength. And when you do a brief study of the Old Testament, and you read about this time when the Ark was captured, and the different places that it went, and what happened to those places, right? And it ended up once upon a time in a pagan temple. The Ark of God in a pagan temple. And the next day, the statue was prostrated before the Ark with its head cut off. And nobody was in there at all besides the statues and the Ark of God. Amen? That was the symbol of God's power. And David had encountered and felt the power, meaning the strength of the God that he served. And oh, how he longed for that strength. I want to read 1 Samuel right now, chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 21. I'll go ahead and start reading. You can put it up, please. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel, because the Ark of God had been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. She's talking about the glory of God departing the country, meaning the Ark of God left. You see, David was filled with joy when he witnessed God's presence in the tabernacle that was located in Jerusalem. He wanted to be around it. He wanted to be in the presence of God day and night. He wanted to rejoice. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. And my question to you tonight is this: what is stopping you, any one of us here, to have that same feeling, to have that same expectation when you come to the house of God? I'm going to go to the house of the Lord, and I'm going to have a personal meeting with God tonight. You know, Lord, I'm going through, you know, I had a hard week, and I need some answers. I'd like to receive an answer from you tonight when I go and worship. Lord, I just received this diagnosis from a doctor, and I don't like it. So therefore, Lord, I'm going to take that paper. Here is the written, I'm going to use this as a prop. Here is the written diagnosis that I received. Lord, I don't believe it. I'm going to lay this on the altar right here, and you're going to take care of that for me. And when I go for testing 2-3 weeks from now, Lord, may your hand be all over that. What is wrong with that attitude? Nothing. And what is holding you from having that same attitude as David had? Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. Praise the Lord. You see, the title for this evening's message is this: The Benefits of Thirst. You know, when you're thirsty, you need to quench that thirst quickly, right? As quick as you can. I'm pulling over. The next rest area, I am so there. The next gas station, the next corner store, whatever it is. Do I have something here right now? I don't care if it's from last month. I need to drink something. But I'm here to say this evening that it is healthy for you to be spiritually thirsty for the things of God. Amen? Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. We all know Matthew 5, 6. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." But if you don't have that hunger for God, for the things of God, if you don't have that thirst, that healthy thirst, that yearn to see and witness and feel God's strength and God's power, you're not going to live in it. Amen? And this is what we must never forget. David's soul has now yearned for nothing less than new revelation from the Lord and new power from God. I want to take the time right now to say that just like how we need a healthy, balanced diet, you also need a healthy balance in your spiritual walk. Let me have the camera here for just a moment, please. Yeah, it's okay. I want all of us here to, I want you to get this right now, and you're watching right now online. I want to grow, I want to expand in the knowledge of my God. I want to know my God in the most profound and personal way that I possibly can. And we do that by studying His Word, by being in the Word, and heavily relying on the Holy Spirit to reveal His Word to you. It's done by Holy Spirit revelation. That's the best way to go. Okay? It's not always about superhero and cape and doing all these supernatural things. There's going to be a time when we must serve. We must serve the brethren. We must serve in our community. We must serve those, we must help those who are not able to help themselves at that moment. Amen? Amen. You know, favor. A lot of people, and I had this conversation today, and I thought it was quite profound. A lot of people have a jaded understanding of what favor is, and favor isn't always a freebie, a hand-me-down, some free stuff. Oh, I have favor of the Lord. I just got this for free. Think about it this way. Favor of the Lord is also the Lord using you to bless somebody else. That is ultimate favor. The Bible says, Jesus said, it is better for you to give than for you to receive. And you will obtain favor. And you will grow spiritually. And the Lord will trust you with more gifts and with more power when we serve. We cannot neglect this at all. We must have a complete healthy diet. Some people are heavy into the academics. Some people are heavy into knowing the theology and the background and the history and the meaning and know the purity of the word. Great. But don't forget about the signs and wonders and miracles also. Equally, the other way goes around. You know, people live for just all the miracles and all the signs, but their preaching lacks. Their knowledge lacks. You know, it's kind of, oh, well, I'll just leave it right there, okay? I'll just leave it right there. I just want to say this. It is an equal balance. I want you to know that, yes, this is talking about church, tabernacle, the presence of God, witnessing the power of God, and everything that goes along with that. But let us also not neglect communion with God, closeness with the Lord, and serving others. And helping others. Helping who? The widow. The orphan. The homeless. The alien in your town, in your city. Doing good. Showing love. And everything else. This is equally important. Amen? I want to conclude right now with John chapter 7, if you'd like to turn a page with me. John chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 37 and 38. Okay, let's read. John 7, starting with verse 37, says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And then it says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Amen. I decided to add this verse here towards the end because it takes you to believe with all of your heart everything that this word says. This is almost an extension of this morning's message. I spoke about water baptism this morning. Baptism into repentance. And after a repentance occur, then you are eligible, per the Lord, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And this is something that is personal. That's between you and God. And we must all want it. But the point of the matter is that blessed are those who thirst. Blessed are those who hunger. They will be filled. And not only that, they're going to be so filled that out of their hearts will overflow, will flow out rivers of living water to all who believe. It's very important for us to live this, for this to be a lifestyle. I'm going to put it plain and simple. If you want this, it has to be a lifestyle. It can't be any other way. You can't just flick the switch on, flick it off during the week when you're busy, and then flick it up, flick it on again on the weekend. This is continuous. You know, if I can see a miracle, if I can see the power of God, if I can see the strength of God on a daily basis, by all means, I'm going for it. I'm going for it. Lord, just tell me how. What do I need to do? What's the secret? Show me where to go. Tell me what to do. I'm so there. I love it. If I can see God's mighty hand every single day in an ultimate supernatural way, that's me. Count me in. Amen? Amen. And we should all have the same attitude. But more specifically here, when we come to the house of God, as David was accustomed to doing, as we read in Psalm 63, verse 2, the power of God, His presence in the place, that is something that he yearned for. And that is something that we also should yearn for when we come together in the house of the Lord and we sing songs and we worship and we praise God and we pray and we listen to the word and all these things. Something is happening in the spiritual realm. You might not see it, but something is happening. Amen? Amen? When those hard time comes, when trying times come, you have the experience. You've been there, you've done that, you've seen God work, and you know that He hasn't left you alone. Like we used to say here, as of late, the battle is already won. Amen? The price is paid. The battle is won. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to worry. Praise God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts, Lord. And we thank you for the victory that we have through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank you, Lord, so very much for your power. We thank you, Lord, also for your mercy towards every single one of us. Thank you, Lord, that we can achieve forgiveness through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray right now that every single person, through the sound of my voice, will have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, for the things of God, to know you, Lord, in a more profound way, and experience, Lord, this power that is readily available, Lord, for us to use. For us, Lord, to be a force to be reckoned with in this world. I pray, Lord, that you will use every single person here tonight. And everyone, Lord, who is watching this program right now, this recording right now, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will manifest yourself to them in a profound way. And may, Lord, our hearts turn to you all the way, 100%. Not one foot here, not one foot there, but all the way, Lord, with you. Lord, we want to walk with you and you with us. We want to experience your power. Lord, we want to serve you, Lord, in the best way we can. We want to fulfill, Lord, our mission in life. May your name, Lord, always be glorified in our bodies, in our life, forever and ever. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. God bless you.
It's time for us to give offerings. Please give generously as the Lord has blessed you. Please stretch up your hands as we bless this offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for once again the opportunity to give. We pray that, Lord, may our offerings, O Lord, be acceptable unto you. We pray that may you sanctify it, O Lord, with the blood of Jesus, that whatever it will be used for, O Lord, Father, will bear fruits that will glorify your name. We pray that everybody that has given and even those who were not able to give, Lord, Father, may you bless each and every one of them in the name of Jesus, Lord. May you empower them, O Lord. Give them wisdom in their minds, O Lord. Prosper the works of their hands, O Lord. That, Father, wherever they go, Lord, your favor, O Lord, will be upon them, O Lord. That they'll be productive, O Lord, in all that they do, O Lord. That they will have enough, O Lord, to bring unto your storehouse. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.